And it's so great to see everybody, those in the building, those outside, those watching online, whether you're down in Monterey, up in Sacramento, over in Florida, we have people that watch from all over. So glad that you joined us as we begin this new series of messages called Get in the Game. I can remember I took a walk a while back around the block in my neighborhood, and I ran into one of my neighbors. Now, I know this is California and nobody talks to their neighbors, but we struck up a conversation, and well, the moral of the story is good things can happen when you talk to your neighbor. We got into conversation, and I was wearing my Raiders hat because I'm always wearing my Raiders hat. And he said, yeah, okay. And he said, hey, I've got a buddy who has front row seats, 40-yard line, to all the Raider games at the new stadium. And he's not using them. If you want to go to the game, just let me know. Why didn't he even have to pray about that? So I said, sure, I'd love to go. And so me and a buddy, we go down to the game, and wow, there we are on the front row in the new stadium, and I've got a hot dog in one hand, I've got nachos in the other hand, I've got a Diet Coke to balance it all out. It was a great seat in the stands to watch the game from, and that's what I did. But here's the sermon. If we are going to live on mission, we've got to make a move from being spectators to participators, from watching things happen to making things happen. To make a move out of the stands, onto the field, and into the game. And that right there is the sermon. Get in the game. Amen. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Get in the game. Today is draft day at the Cathedral of Faith. So I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the scripture as we think about this topic together. The Bible says, and I invite you to say this with me. God's gifts of grace come in many forms. Each of you has received a gift in order to serve others. You should use it faithfully. Each of you, say that with me. Each of you, use it. Say it with me. Use it. Use it or lose it. Say it with me. Use it. Yeah. Now, what's interesting is the word serve can also be translated minister. So it could read this way. Each of you has received a gift in order to minister to others. What? I've never thought of myself that way. That every member is a minister? Are you kidding me? Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Father, thank you so much for our cathedral family, friends, guests who are here today. Thank you that we're on this journey. That God, we want to live 2026 on mission. And so lead, guide, and direct the discussion today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we've put ourselves in position to receive from you. And we ask that you would bless our time in Jesus' name and for his glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, tell somebody, get in the game. Go ahead. Get in the game. Get in the game. Out of the stands, onto the field, and into the game. Every member, a minister, talk about a paradigm shift. the pastors on staff are a little bit like player coaches. We're like players who are out on the field, and we're in the game ourselves, but we are also coaches. And one of our main jobs is to help you get out on the field and into position. Now, I know at least one person who's hearing me is thinking, wait a second, time out. That's what we pay you to do. We pay you to be the minister. I have a buddy who tells me, I pay you to read the Bible for me. Oh. And yet, according to the Bible, a big part of our job description, well, Ephesians 4 puts it this way. It says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip, to prepare, to train the saints for the work of what? Ministry. Every member, a minister. One of our main jobs is to help to get you out of the stands and into the game. And here's the reality. We will never see the Bay Area transformed for the glory of God with only the special teams out on the field. We need all the defense. We need all the offense. We need the entire team out of the stands and into the game for us to make maximum impact. And let's give God praise. Amen. Now, it seems to me this has been God's plan all along, that when you look at the Old Testament, God delivers his people from the oppression of slavery. And then he says this to his people, all of them. He says, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests, of ministers. That from the very beginning, this was his heart. He wanted men and women, young and old, to be involved in the work of advancing his kingdom in the world. That was the plan. But when the people turned away from him and worshiped the golden calf, only the tribe of Levi had stayed faithful. So they were the ones who were designated as the priests, the ministers. And that's the way it would stay until the time of Jesus. Are you grateful for Jesus? How Jesus always comes to restore what was lost. And so to all those right now who are followers of Jesus, listen to the Bible says, listen to the way the Bible describes you. It says, you are a chosen people. God's drafted you. You are royal priests. You're ministers. You are a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Showing others the goodness of God. Are you ready to get in the game? Are you ready to get back in the game? It seems to me the last few years, the enemy, our spiritual enemy, tried to knock us off our game. Because he knows if he can keep us up in the stands, we are no danger to him. And yet, Cathedral, we are back. Let me say that again. We are back. I want to say that again. We are back. Say it with me. We are back. And we are ready to knock the enemy off his game. I heard about this college football coach who he had an assistant, and he wanted him to recruit a certain kind of player. And he was describing the kind of player he wanted. He said, you know the guy who gets knocked down and stays down? He said, that's not the guy I want. You know the guy who gets gets knocked down, gets back up, gets knocked down again? That's not the guy I want. You know the guy who gets knocked down, gets back up, gets knocked down, gets back up, gets knocked down, gets back up. The assistant said, "That's the guy you want." He said, "No, I don't want that guy either. I want the guy who's knocking everybody down." Cathedral, we're back. And we're ready to knock down the gates of hell, devil, of hell. Devil, watch out. Here we come. Because we're out of the stands and we're into the game. And so, first of all, look at what you have in your hands. Take a look at what you have in your hands. In the Bible, there's a man by the name of Moses. And when God drafts Moses to lead the people out of slavery, at first Moses does this right up here, just like the dog. He drags his feet. And there's God pulling on Moses, but Moses is just dragging his feet. He doesn't want to do it. But God doesn't give up on Moses. Are you glad God doesn't give up on us? Amen. Even when we drag our feet, he keeps pulling us. And eventually he asks Moses this question. He says, "What do you have in your hand?" And Moses says, "A wooden staff." Now, when you look at a wooden staff, it doesn't seem like you have much to offer. But when you take that wooden staff and you offer it to God, God would use that wooden staff to part the Red Sea. This is the consistent story of the Bible. You have a teenager who has a stone in his hand. A stone does not seem to be enough when you're facing off with a giant. And when you take that stone, though, and offer it to God, God used that stone to bring down that giant. There was a little boy who had a bag lunch, and a bag lunch doesn't seem like it could feed that many people. And yet when you take a bag lunch and you offer it to God, well, God used that bag lunch to bless thousands of people. And the man Jesus had a nail in his hand, and a nail doesn't seem like it could do that much. But when you take that nail and place it into the hands of God, it was enough to save the sins of the entire world. Hallelujah. And so, that's the question. What's in your hands? What is in your hands? There was a 13-year-old boy who lived in a tiny little town in the South. And at the end of the sermon, he decided to become a follower of Jesus. He walked right down to the front. And I wonder if the folks looking at him that day, I wonder if they thought, well, he doesn't have much to offer. I mean, here we live in this tiny little town, and he lives in the section of town where the poor people call those people poor. And he speaks broken English. What could God do with him? And yet he took what he had, he offered it to God. And eventually, Kenny Foreman planted the Cathedral of Faith Church. Never underestimate what God can do. What do you have in your hands? Nobody is empty-handed. Say that with me. Nobody is empty-handed. Jesus once told a story about the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom of heaven, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. He didn't give them all the same thing, but they all had something in their hands. Nobody was empty-handed. So I don't know. You may be a 5-talent guy like my buddy Dr. Wayne, or you may be a 1-talent guy like me. But wherever you are, I want you to know that you are not empty-handed, that you have something to offer. What is it that God has put in your hands? There was a man who was ministering to homeless people, and he did something that was out of the box, and he got some pushback on because it was not the typical thing that is done. Normally, when you're working with homeless folks, you're there to serve them, to bless them, to give to them, and those are all great things to do. We should do those things. But he wanted to take it a little bit further, and so he thought that even though they don't have a home over their heads, they still have something in their hands to offer. And so what he did is he gave them a way to help others and to bless others and to serve others. And when he did, God worked in amazing ways among those homeless folks. It raised their self-esteem. It built their sense of dignity. It lifted up their spirit. They sensed that God had a purpose for their life, that God could work through their life, that they could make a difference in the lives of others. And that was a game changer, especially for one man. He literally said it saved his life. He was going to kill himself. But he said after this, he put it this way. He said, whatever else that man might have given me, some money, a home, a place to work, I would have still tried to kill myself. What I was missing and what he offered was something to live for. Something to live for. And that is what Jesus does. Jesus gives us more than something to live on. He gives us something to live for. Every member is a minister. Everyone has something in their hands. It's draft day here at Cathedral of Faith. Get in the game. Say it with me. Get in the game. Now, the next point has to do with this. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. The Bible says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Masterpiece. Would you say that with me? Masterpiece. One more time. Masterpiece. Now, here's a question. If you and I were having a cup of coffee and you just opened up your heart and I asked you this question, do you really believe you are God's masterpiece? How would you answer? There was a book called Acres of Diamonds, and in the book it describes something that happened over in Africa, that there was a farmer who heard about how across other farmlands around his area, people were discovering diamonds. And so he wanted to be a part of the gold rush. And so he sold his farm and he went out looking for treasure and he searched far and wide, but he never did find any diamonds. But the property that he had sold, you know what's coming. One day, the guy who bought the property, he's walking along a creek on the property. He sees a diamond in the mud. He picks it up, and that is the start of one of the biggest mining finds at the time. The man had treasure in his own backyard, but he didn't see it. He didn't dig for it. And friend, there is treasure on the inside of you. You just have to ask God to help you to see it and then dig it out. On the way in, you received a card that looks something like this. And just to get you thinking about the treasure that God sees in you, it starts off with your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift. My grandson, Chase, when he was a bit younger, he was riding with my daughter, and in the back seat, he said, Mom, I think I know what God wants me to be. And she said, really? What does God want you to be? He said, I think God made me to be a boss. And he is going to be in charge of something, if you know Chase. And so there are spiritual gifts, whether it's the gift of ruling or mercy or encouragement or healing. God sees the spiritual gifts that he's put in you. God sees the heart that he's given to you. God always gives us a piece of his heart, a burden or a passion. It may be to reach the lost or to teach children or to serve the poor. God sees in you the ability that he's given to you, that you have talents. Some people have talents for fixing things, creating things. Some are talented in speaking or athletics. I found one little guy, he's talented in athletics. Watch this up here. He's a cute little guy. Look at him. Here we go. You go. Yeah. So spiritual gifts, the kind of heart God gives you, the abilities he blesses you with, and then there's your personality, that God wired you a certain way. Maybe you're more of a thinker, or maybe you're more of a feeler. Maybe you're more of a driver. Maybe you're more laid back. Maybe you're more of an extrovert, or maybe you're more of an introvert. In fact, how about we get interactive? By a show of hands, how many would say, I tend to be more of an extrovert? Let me see your hands. Yeah? You couldn't wait to raise your hands, could you? And then how many would say, I'm a little more of an introvert? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Some of you who are introverts were never going to raise your hands. You don't want to be known. The point is, God gives you a certain shape. And E stands for experiences, the good things, the bad things that have happened in your life. God can use all those things. I had the opportunity to once interview a legend in the WNBA, Ruthie Bolton, and she even brought her gold medal from the Olympics. She let me put on her gold medal at the Olympics. Can you believe that? That is the closest I will ever be to having a gold medal. And we talked not only about the highs, but the lows. And while she was experiencing tremendous success on the court, she was experiencing tremendous pain at home. She was a survivor of domestic abuse. And when I asked her to describe her journey, well, listen in. And listen closely, especially to what she says at the end.
It was really tough. You know, it happened during the peak of my career and during the time playing in the World Championship, playing in the Olympics. And I felt on top of the world on the basketball court. But at home, I felt this small. I felt like, you know, why me? And I felt, but I found a way. I never lost faith. I never lost confidence, trust in God. But I couldn't figure out. I said, Lord, how do I fix this at home? How can I make this better? And I even one time felt guilty, like, you're blessing me so much on the basketball court. I'm talking about, I was playing better. I was playing the top of my game, and my home was a wreck. And I just really, I went through that, and my teammates edified me. They didn't know. They didn't know anything about it, but I was on the basketball court, and I felt they validated me. And I think that's why I played so hard. They gave me a high five. They made me feel like I belong, and they didn't know what was going on with me. And so when I, about 4 years ago, ESPN wanted to do a story on it, a documentary, I said, no, I don't, that's the past. I don't want to. But the only reason I decided to is because they said, I know it's your decision, but you're going to change women's lives that you'll never meet. You're going to impact women's lives and edify them.
God never wastes a pain. Now, she went on to help many, many lives. God never wastes a pain. And when you add it all together, spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experience, you're not a product of random chance. But God has shaped you in a certain way to have an impact in this world, that you were made to minister. You were shaped for serving. Today's draft day at Cathedral of Faith. And the way to get started is this. This is the way to get started. Change your sign. Would you say that with me? Change your sign. Let me go back into the stands. And, I got a nice seat here. It's got some cushion on it. It's a little chilly at the game, so I'll put on a blanket. And, I even got a sign at the game. that says, do not disturb. I'm watching the game. I'm focused on the game. So don't mess with me. It's comfortable. It's warm. I like being in the stands. And if you have this sign up in your life, this will keep you stuck. This will keep you off the field. But if you turn that sign over and you say, disturb me. Disturb me. Amen. Say that with me. Disturb me. You say, God, I bring my time and my talent and my resources to you. Disturb me, God. My talent doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. My resources don't really belong to me. They belong to you. My talent doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. My life doesn't belong to me, God. It belongs to you. So disturb me, God. Disturb me. When you pray that prayer, I got to tell you, that's a dangerous prayer to pray. But if you do, I want to say, there is nothing more exhilarating, nothing more fulfilling than getting out of the stands, into the game, being at work with God in the world. And oftentimes, it starts with an interruption. An interruption. Do you remember this video from COVID times?
Scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. Pardon me. Pardon me. My apologies.
Interruptions, yeah. I want to give you a different way to think about interruptions, a different way to think about them. If you want to do an interesting Bible study, look at how many of Jesus' miracles started as interruptions. When Jesus calmed the raging sea, it started as an interruption. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it started as an interruption. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man that they lowered through the roof, it started as an interruption. And what you find is in following Jesus, we not only follow the steps of Jesus, we follow the stops of Jesus. And we recognize in our lives that an interruption may be an opportunity that ends up being a miracle. I remember not too long ago, I was out on the golf course on the driving range because I was practicing. If you've seen my game, if you've seen my scorecard, I need lots of practice. And so I was out there. I'd committed some time to go work on my game. And so I'm locked in, working on my golf game, and some guy walks up and interrupts me. And I said, come on, man. Don't you see what I'm doing? I didn't say that. That's not very pastoral. But he came up and interrupted me, and I got to tell you, I'm so glad he did. Because he knew I was a person of faith. And he told me how his son had been diagnosed with cancer. He had a cancerous growth in his face. And he asked if I'd pray for him. And so I called an audible. And I put down my club. And right there, we turned that driving range into a church altar. And we prayed that God would bless and heal his son. And thanks be to God, to the glory of God, the power of the Spirit working through doctors and medicine. That young man is cancer-free. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah! Do you see that? How that happens? You're just living your life at home, at school, at the gym, at work, at the course, and an interruption becomes an opportunity, and the opportunity may end up as a miracle. And that's why that prayer, "Disturb me, God," is so important. In fact, that's my challenge, cathedral challenge for the week. What if each of us woke up every day and before we get out of bed, we said, "God, thank you for this day, and you have permission to disturb me. I'm ready to be disturbed." Who knows what would happen in our valley? Who knows? Well, as we think about getting in the game, I wanted to read one other scripture, and then we'll wrap things up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 sums it up this way. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action where? Everywhere. But God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone, say that with me. Everyone, say it again. Everyone gets in on it, and everyone, say that with me. Everyone benefits. Everyone wins. And all God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise for His word? Amen. I want to commission you for ministry. Would you stand with me, please? Stay with me for the next couple of minutes and I'll dismiss you. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer at the end to wrap things up. Bow your heads with me for a moment. If you'd say, "Pastor Ken, I'm not even on the team. And I want to become a follower of Jesus. I've never stepped across the line and surrendered my life to Jesus. But today's your day. Today's your day." And you'd say, "That's me." Just lift up your hand real high. Say, "Pastor Ken, that's me. God bless you. 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 Up in the balcony, God bless you. God bless you." Those who are watching online, God sees your hands, sees your hearts. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for those who today are beginning the journey, becoming followers of Jesus Christ. All heaven rejoices in this moment. And wherever we're at on our journey, God, whether we're just starting or whether we've been walking this way a very long time, I pray that with a fresh sense of mission, in us and on us, Lord, that we would see through your eyes. And that, God, we would pray this prayer. Disturb us, God, this week. Help us to live our life on mission wherever we go. Work through us. I commission every person under the sound of my voice to go into the world as a minister of the life of Jesus Christ. Empower them by your Holy Spirit. Let their gifts flow, be activated. Father, let them offer to you what is in their hands. And we believe this, we declare this, that the kingdom of heaven is coming to the Bay Area in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah.